Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to our show. Welcome to 1,000 Moms Talk. I'm Dave Balog. I'm the Information Officer for 1,000 Moms, building community support for LGBTQ youth in foster and adoptive care. And, you know, when Donald Trump was elected, Fred Elia, the president and the co-founder, along with Marcia Novi of our organization, declared war and said, whatever it takes to get rid of Trump. Well, we're in a pitched battle, and today we're going to plant our opinions. The worst of the media, the top 10 worst of MSNBC, CNN, and we're not even going to touch Fox, but we're going to talk about Joy Reid, Morning Joe, Nicole Wallace, Ali Melber, Chris Matthews, Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Brian Williams, and all of the stuff that's making people just tune out from MSNBC, and that's not a good thing, because where are we going to get our information? Well, that's the $64,000 question, and we're gonna pile through, drill through the craziness going on your local MSNBC station and the media in general, as we try to figure out the mania, the phenomenon, the disaster of Donald Trump. So give us 45 minutes. We'll give you the world, and we'll start in just 1 second. Well, joining me in this post-truth world, Ray, we've been in the post-truth world for particularly a couple of years now. But how are you, Dr. Ray Working? Greetings to you, wherever you may be. Where are you?
I am in East Greenbush in the midst of a rather nasty thunderstorm.
Oh! But you're thick in Trump country, aren't you?
Oh yeah, the gun signs are up. You know, gun rights. Got to put them everywhere.
Yeah, gunners. Do you have MAGA hats around where you travel on your daily excursions? I've started to see Trump bumper stickers over here on the other side of the Hudson in Schenectady. You just can't. I won't have a discussion about anybody unless I absolutely know that they're against Trump. But otherwise, we're under the spell. We're all under the spell, one way or the other. But worse, I think, is what's happening on MSNBC, which is where I've gone for about the last 10, 15 years to get news or information that I like hearing. But Ray, I want to start with our old friend, Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue was the lead host on MSNBC when it first started. Do I have that right?
I don't go back that far on MSNBC, but I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, and he was fired because of his opposition to the Iraq war. And that was my first clue that this is something different. This is not your Walter Cronkite news. This is a brawling outlet, but yet corporate. And, you know, some parts of that I don't mind, but you know, it's a brawling sort of atmosphere. And so Phil Donahue was gone, and let's not get into the origins of MSNBC, but I wanted to talk this week, today actually, about Joy Reid, who I kind of got into a Twitter war with, not personally, but a whole lot of people. We're trying to educate her on Mayor Pete and some of the horrific false comments she's been making lately, and in general, about him, along with another African-American colleague, you know, who's on makes the rounds on the MSNBC shows, Dr. Jason Johnson. The one thing that Joy Reid said last week that really set me off and a lot of people was that this was after the debate, and Joy Reid said in her she was on the Nicole Wallace show, and she said, Mayor Pete, his city is 46% African-American, and he can't get one person, not one person, to come out and defend him. And she just sort of dismissed him. And I mean, that just stunned me. And I knew it was wrong, but I had to look it up, which she didn't bother to do. And it's not 40. She said 46%, almost half of South Bend is African-American, and not one will support him. Well, those are pretty damning numbers. So I looked it up, and she was wrong. It's 26% is of South Bend is African-American. And and many people have come and stepped up for Mayor Pete. And Ray, I wanted to play one of those people, and I don't have her name, but she's an active citizen. She doesn't work for South Bend. She knows Mayor Pete. So let's play that and come back and discuss it. So this is from this week, video, African-American woman talking about Mayor Pete.
Not to take away from the anguish and the grief that my hometown family, friends, and members and community members are experiencing, but to be honest, is the media portrayal of Pete Buttigieg accurate and fair? Absolutely not.
It's my city. And I have a relationship with everybody in the city. And when somebody loses their life because of a civilian or because of an officer, and it's happening all over the country, but it's happening here, then I feel like it's my job to face it.
Mayor Pete has unfortunately inherited decades of deep-seated habits, bad habits, a culture of sweeping things under the rug, of covering things up, a culture of good old boy loyalty. The media attention on South Bend is even worse than some of the portrayals, because people really act out when they have an audience. The African-American community in South Bend is rich with authentic and educated and dedicated people, and we weren't portrayed thoroughly and appropriately. Pete has been boots on the ground serving our country and our city. I remember a multitude of events that we held. Lemonade stands, if you guys remember, our neighborhood block party that we threw. Pete was there, got his hands dirty. He made sure that the police department and the fire department were represented in our events in a positive way. You can't take that away from this man because he wants to be president. Come on, family and friends, we can do better than that. We can't let the media, the national media, tell us who we are. We have to tell them who we are. And we are people to judge.
This problem has to get solved in my lifetime.
I haven't supported or been as excited about a presidential campaign since President Obama. Pete is calm, he's objective, he's supportive, and one of his greatest attributes, Pete is kind. And we need Pete. We need his kindness. Our nation needs a little bit of kindness right now. Let's get it together, y'all.
I get why people are not satisfied, because I'm not satisfied either.
Ray, that was a woman, a citizen of South Bend, and at the end of these Twitter wars with Joy Reid, I got to tell you that she basically began to, I would say, cave, be polite. She warmed up a little bit, but she said, "I want to have that woman on my show," and she asked for contact information, which she could get it herself, which she didn't want to do the work. So we'll see. Maybe you know, if she gets some information thrown in her face, maybe Miss Joy Reid will change her tune. But I do like the point that the woman made. You know, the media portrayal is totally false, and we're going to have to tell them what the truth is, what the reality is. And I thought that was a very good point. Any thoughts, Ray?
I agree with you on all counts. I don't know what to make of this woman. She's been given a free pass, not unlike Trump himself. And I told you on my show, when I questioned, you know, when the emails, this is going back a while, when the things that she had said in the past surfaced, I came out strongly against them, and I got that same attitude that was there with Trump. You know, you just got to back off, and they were even softer on her than they ever were on him. You know, well, this is a long time ago, and she's not like that now, and I really enjoy her. All those fluff comments that I would fail students for on my oral communications class as a professor, because there's no meat in the sandwich. It's just not there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very clear to me.
I'm sorry, it's very clear to you? Yeah.
Very clear to me where she stands.
Yeah. You know, I just can't get over that she gets a pass for that those horrible blog posts that were unearthed that she wrote. She tried to weasel out of it. These were homophobic blog posts and anti-Semitic blog posts from years ago. Now you can say, well, somebody's changed their mind. Well, she denied even writing them. And then she got caught in a lie. She thought, well, somebody hacked my old blog and put this in. And she hired somebody, and they couldn't find any evidence of that. And so it was just left hanging there like a balloon. Like, and nobody wants to talk about it. No, she's never accepted responsibility. She kind of weaseled out and said, you know, well, if I was homophobic, I was. That's the culture I was born in. But she never, ever, ever said, I'm sorry, those were my words, and I apologize. Never. Never said that. I would like her to say that. But, you know, how can she be how can she be even close to objective with that in her past and everybody papering it over? And that's what they do at MSNBC, and I'm sorry. But they're all over themselves, patting each other on the back. The guy who does the polls is called the great Steve Kornacki or the great Andrea Mitchell. I mean, stop patting yourselves on the back, you people. You know, there's serious stuff to be done. And Joy Reid's issues are, I mean, I can't watch her. She's like, there's no objectivity there. I mean, how can you trust this woman? I mean, if you read those blog posts, and I hope people will Google them and find them, it's pretty nasty stuff that she was saying. And anyway, so Ray, I think I messed up again, and we only have a half hour show, so we have about 15 minutes left. So I apologize again, but this is Blog Talk Radio Universe. But so Ray, what I wanted to do is go through the lineup and just sort of, as they do on MSNBC, sort of have a lightning round of their guests and what is going on with them. So they start out the day. They start out the day with Morning Joe, which is a former congressman, Joe Scarborough, a former Republican congressman, Joe Scarborough, who has some really, really, really strange things in his past that you're not allowed to talk about on the show. And then his now wife, Mika Brzezinski, who is the daughter of the of Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, and I want to say Secretary of State, but I'm not sure that's right. He was a highly esteemed foreign policy person. To be honest, I don't know what Mika Brzezinski's career credits are, but I find them just, their guests are fine, interesting, but Joe and Mika are mousy Mickey and Minnie Mouse. They're just sort of, I don't know. They don't make an opinion. They don't take a stand. They don't, or if they take a stand, I mean, the big thing was they gave an open platform for Trump in 2016, and he called in every day and spewed his stuff, and they just sort of opened the door for him, not alone, but, you know, he was good for ratings. So let's have him on. What do you think of Morning Joe? Ray?
Well, I'm suspicious of where Joe Scarborough's real feelings lie. I mean, I understand how I watched the show way too many times. I had to get away from it too. But I mean, they just laid the groundwork for Trump, you know, driving right in. And his comment about the parade most recently was that finally the major networks did not cover it on regular TV, although anybody who wanted it could certainly find it, that's for damn sure. But what this was, the point was made, they should have done this back in 2015 when he came down the elevator. They should not have opened the door. And Joe and Mika were dancing in the streets over the fact that their show was riding high because Donald J. Trump was right there on it. And, you know, they were invited to the inaugural party, and that blanks me off. Why were they invited to Trump's inauguration party?
Yeah.
How do you explain
that? Yeah.
And they went happily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's like there are no rules anymore. There are no rules. There's no journalism. These people are not trained journalists. I could get a show. I could, Ray, you and I should be on MSNBC. maybe we can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start the day and set things straight for the, so I want to move on to the other cast of characters that, well, interest me. What else matters? We don't have objectivity here either. There's Nicole Wallace, who, I kind of like. I have liked her. She hosts the 4 o'clock hour, and she is she comes with a big caveat. She's a real Republican. I mean, she was a communications person for George W. Bush, and she still holds on to her opinions about Bush. She defends him. She's friendly with him. She's a loyalist. I think what has made her somewhat appealing is that she's caught on to Trump. She doesn't call herself a Republican anymore. She knows his game. She has interesting guests on who try to explain what's going on. She hosts a good show. Interestingly enough, it's usually a pretty calm show, but on the day that Joy Reid made her crazy lies about Mayor Pete, it was on Nicole Wallace's show, and the show just that day for some reason was like a laugh riot, a little mini party. It was incredible. I go, what is going on here? And so there's Nicole Wallace. Generally, she runs a good show. She's very, very good communicator, and next we come to Ari Melber. I won't even talk about Chuck Todd, who's just proven his dismal journalistic credibility for years on Sundays on Meet the Press. I mean, he gave the the biggest nothing burger interview to Trump recently. It's disgusting. Ask a question. Ask a serious question, Chuck. But let's go on. Ari Melber has a 6 o'clock show, and he's Mr. Hip Hop. He loves hip hop, and actually, they say it's been good for his ratings because he gets a wider audience that way. But it's a little strange for this white guy, this lawyer, playing hip hop, which I have no idea what's going on. Neither do most of his guests, but he's he bends with the wind too. I mean, he was part of the Pile on Pete crowd last week, and then we come to Chris Matthews, who's been around for forever. His nickname, I've heard, is Tweety Bird. This is a guy who is a real, real motor mouth and blowhard, and he switches. He's so fickle over the years. He's, you know, if a politician makes a statement that he likes, he's on their train. No matter if it's W. Bush or Trump, you know, he'll get on board until the next day when he puts his finger in the air and figures which way the wind is growing. Do you like Chris Matthews, Ray?
I don't think he's distinguished himself at all, most recently in the debates. I mean, I'm not happy with Kamala Harris, but boy, he didn't know how to handle that at all. I mean, his aide showed his lack of finesse. It was the most unjournalistic interview I've heard in a long time. I just shook my head. They were trying to get him away from her, actually, because I thought she was going to take him on, which bothered me all the more because it fed into her momentum. And I would say a guy whose time has come.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of my biggest puzzles is Chris Hayes, who shows up at 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And I think... this is terrible, but who cares? I think English is his second language. He just mangles the language and the syntax, and it's almost like he's thinking 20 steps ahead of his mouth, which in some ways is admirable, but it just, I don't know. I think his profession is more of a writer than it is as a commentator who just anyway, and what he says is very, very left. He's a pro Bernie guy, has been since the last election, and I mean, what is there's not even a pretense of objectivity to these people. I invite somebody to prove me wrong, but I any comment on Chris Hayes before we get to our dear favorite Rachel?
No, I'll pass on Hayes.
Okay. Well, then at 9 o'clock we come to Rachel Maddow, and I've taken to calling her Morticia, and I don't mean that in a mean way, but she just wears black all the time. I almost cringe when it. I mean, it's symbolic. It says to me something's wrong with this girl. She's depressed. Here's a comparison. Whereas Mayor Pete has been very out, very open, Rachel's kind of she's still a little squirmy about talking about being a lesbian and having her partner. They're not married. She mentioned Susan, and I'll say, who's Susan? I have to think a second. Oh, that's the woman she lives with. And it kind of, I don't know if you watch her, and she puts her eyes down, and she's got these weird tics. However, one of the worst things about her is she takes 20 minutes to explain what could be done in five. She's got this teacher's habit of just repeating and repeating and repeating until you just want to throw up. She's very insightful. I mean, she's brilliant in a way. She's, you know, like Mayor Pete, a Rhodes Scholar, but, oh, she's just insufferable to get the message out. And frankly, I think she's got her favorites, too. The girls who come in, and I think they get preferred treatment. Any thoughts on that, Ray?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that more than once. When gay male issues arise, she gives them short shrift. She went through a list. I'll give you a specific. Alan Turing, of course, from Codebreaker, who arguably saved the world. She's going through all the great gay individuals who have made their mark on the world, and she so obviously and so deliberately completely left Alan Turing off the list. I almost threw a shoe through the screen. And I don't think that her interview with Mayor Pete was a comfortable one. I sense tension there. I think somebody's book one day is going to say that, you know. I don't know what it is with her and men, but I'd be trashed on my show for saying it, but I don't think she's comfortable around gay men in addition to straight men. I really don't.
Yeah, what was the thing? She got into it with Mayor Pete about how he waited till he was 33 to come out, and she just sort of belabored the point and put him.
Well, she wanted an answer. How did you wait that long? And he came back very well, and you heard it because I was in the service, fool. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah. It was as if she said, well, you know, it doesn't matter, but it did matter to her. And she belabored the question and made me squirm, and Pete handled it as well as he could. But we have no right to ask if you live as LGBT person, when somebody's ready to come out, it's their call. It's their time. It's you know, we all have different experiences. And I just thought she had a chip on her shoulder that was a mile wide. I don't get it. I don't get it. And among the lesbians, I know she is beloved. You can't say anything. And that's not fair. That's not right. In my mind, because she, you know, in some ways she's a pioneer. Got to give her that. But in other ways, she's as strange as Joy Reid is homophobic, or God knows. Well, let's move on.
You ever notice when it shows? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever noticed when their show's a butt and they do those, oh, I find kissy-poo passing of the torch from one show to the other, how she absolutely fawns over Joy Reid, and then she returns the favor, and then I want to throw up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the great Joy Reid, the great Steve Kornacki. You know, it's just Lawrence O'Donnell is next, and I'll just shortly say about him. I just think of his hot temper. I mean, he's very bright. He gets to the issues, but the way he treats his staff is you know, there's that famous meltdown video where he was just, somebody on his staff was screwing over with him, and he just had a meltdown that somebody filmed. But his anger, and I know he has great experience because he was on the U.S. Senate as a staffer, a very important role in the Budget Committee, I believe. But that's Lawrence O'Donnell. So, Ray, we're coming down to the close here because of my I'll explain it to you how it happens that I picked the wrong show length. But I just want to close with Bill Maher, who said, I have issues with Bill Maher too, but he said, you know, it's all for the ratings. Used to be TV news was a loss leader. Now it's a profit center. And I think that's the key to what this whole shebang is about. But Ray, thanks for sharing, and we'll make it right.